know we haven't spoken in some time. And the last time we spoke wasn't the most pleasant. But you've got to get over being mad at me and start becoming afraid of you. Because she is coming, and she's coming to kill you. And unless you accept my assistance, I have no doubt she will succeed.
I don't dodge guilt, and I don't chew out of paying my comeuppance.
Can we just forget the past?
That woman deserves her revenge. And we deserve to die. But then again, so does she. So I guess we'll just see.
This is CNN. No, this is Damien.
Okay, then. And with that, we'll continue to produce news as wonderful as CNN and talk about crap like what we've been watching. So, Damien, it's been a while. What have you been watching?
Has it been a while? Didn't we do one of this last week?
I think we did.
I'm pretty sure we did.
Pretty sure we did.
Never mind. So first I'll talk about a TV show. Now, this year has been pretty drab. For most of the TV shows, Justified is awesome. Everything else has pretty much fallen off a cliff. Except Community. And now Community put out an episode yesterday.
Oh, I haven't seen this episode
That
yet.
Is a parody of Law and Order. And it may be the greatest 20 minutes I've ever spent watching anything in my life.
Wait, hold Douglas, on. Is this even better than the Pillar Fort and the
Douglas?
Fort?
It is so much better. It is unbelievable. God. Mind you, I am an enormous Law and Order fan, which may be contributing to why I love this episode so much. But
hold on. I interject. Yes. You're a Law and Order fan.
Yes, I am allowed.
Is that allowed?
I don't know if it's allowed. I don't care. I've watched so much Law and Order, it is ridiculous. It actually got to a point where I could tell whether or not I'd seen the episode within the opening, like 5 minutes. And there are 18. There were like 18 seasons of this show. So we're not talking about 40 or so episodes. We're talking hundreds of episodes that I had seen.
Does this mean that you also enjoy like all of the SVU, Ice-T, and such?
Right. So everything under the Law and Order umbrella, I watched and enjoyed, I guess is the right word to use. I don't know, I just had seen so much that
even
it had
NCIS
become a... But that is the thing.
QRD,
all of the others that don't have...
That was
the funny thing. All of the others that don't have Law and Order in front of it, I immediately wrote off as trash.
All of them have Law and Order in front of it. It's Law and Order, SVU,
right.
Law and Order, NCIS.
So there's Law and Order, SVU.
NCIS isn't Law and Order.
Right. There's Law and Order SVU and there was Criminal Intent, yeah. And then there was a straight up Law and Order,
there's
and then
UK.
There was UK and some other madness that I didn't watch. But then there's NCIS, and then there's some other Law and Order type shows.
Yeah, like Criminal Minds.
Right, which I immediately disregarded. Yeah. They're horrible shows. No one should watch them. But Community sat down and made the perfect parody. I mean, it is unbelievably good. I'm not going to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but people need to watch this as soon as it is, especially if you're a Law and Order fan. You cannot believe the level that they take it. Right? It is. They even go as far as putting in people from Law and Order, but no one significant. But there's someone in there where when you see her, you go, really, guys? That is the extent to which you took it? And they did. And it is amazing. So everybody needs to watch Community. I mean, we've said that many times. Moving on from that. So there's three movies that I'm going to talk about. None of which are very good.
Really? I was hoping that first one was good. It has Raul Julia in it.
Right.
And I really like him.
And it has a young John Malkovich. So The Killing Fields. This movie came out 96, I think. And it has been lauded all over the internet by the movie people who are supposed to know about the movies. This movie is mediocre, I think. It's not great. Not great is the word that I'd use. I hope for better. There are some performances in there that are okay. The story that they're telling is pretty good. It surrounds this journalist that went over to Vietnam when Vietnam was going through their trials and tribulations with the U.S. And the U.S. had to pull out, of course, because they went in with a strategy that was never, ever going to work. And so they left. And this was the movie's dealing with the repercussions of that fallout and what happened to a single Vietnamese guy who he got his family out, but he was then trapped there to deal with the militia groups who had taken over. And it's not the best one of these movies you've seen. There isn't, Douglas will like this, there isn't enough heart to this type of movie, which was a bit disappointing. And the acting wasn't that great. I don't know, there is just something about the movie that felt kind of off. It might be because we've seen a lot of these movies now that it didn't. Maybe if I saw it in 96, I'd have been blown away. But right now, it just doesn't feel. It just doesn't have the impact that I thought they were aiming for. And so, I mean, people love this movie, but I think the movie is. It's not bad by any stretch, but it is mediocre. A movie that is definitely mediocre by everyone's standards is Dreamhouse. Now Rachel Weisz is in this movie and James Bond, which is the only reason I decided to watch it, because I had heard all of the negative things that were said about the movie.
And Casey and Jones.
Nobody cares about Casey Jones. It turns out that this movie is truly mediocre. The story that is told is so bad. It is so bad. He loses his mind when his family is murdered, and so he still thinks that his family is alive, and then he finds out that it is him. Not spoiling anything, all of this was in the trailer. And then the resolution of the movie is so stupid that you're left wondering, why did they even bother going through all of this rigmarole if it was going to come to this point? The movie is paint by numbers. You'll see everything coming miles and miles away. The performances were decent, but the story that is told is so bad that it isn't worth your time to watch these actors who are clearly being wasted with this shitty story.
You know what I kind of like about that movie, though? And I use like in a strange sense. More like, oh, that was so bad that I found it funny. Like, two things. Number one, at the end of the movie, and yeah, it's a spoiler, but I'm sure that most of the people listening either A, don't care about this movie, or B, don't care about this movie. I'm sure you don't care, Douglas. Have you seen it?
Dream House? No.
No. Anyways, at the end of the movie, when they're having the big scene in the house and it's on fire, finally you see Rachel Weisz's ghost move something to help yes. Daniel Craig. And I found that hilarious, that moment.
I found that aggravating.
And also, the other moment I kind of found hilarious in the movie was their explanation for how Daniel Craig came up with his other name.
Yeah. That was pretty stupid. Yeah, this movie is bad. I want to downgrade my rating from terrible to really, really. It took god awful, I think, is the rating that I should give this movie. This movie is trash, and no one should see it. Now to my final movie, which is a fun type of mediocre, Sherlock Holmes. Now, if you saw the first Sherlock Holmes movie and enjoyed it, you fall in the camp of, sure, the movie is not that good, but it's fun. And they made an exact replica of that movie, where it's fun, it's not that good, but it's fun. If you enjoy spending time with that Sherlock Holmes character, it continues. There's things in this movie where Guy Ritchie clearly overstepped his understandings of what a Sherlock Holmes character is supposed to be like. But by the end of the movie, it was a pretty well-told story. And it was fun. And so I still don't understand why these idiots put out this movie and Mission Impossible at Christmas time. I don't know who. Maybe the first movie got away with it. But these movies aren't Christmas movies. They are movies that should be viewed in the summer because they are dumb action movies. And Christmas time, you have your family and other people to consider. How do you take your family to a movie like Sherlock Holmes? Children who understand and shouldn't be watching it. Adults shouldn't really be watching it. So they need to relegate these movies back into the summertime where they belong, where you turn off your brain and go watch people blow up shit.
But Sherlock Holmes is a family character. He's friendly.
No, you're wrong. So that's pretty much it. Douglas?
Okay.
What have you been watching?
What have I been watching? Yes. Well, Corporate Douglas has resumed his regular duties.
I find that shocking.
And he has not watched very much. What he has watched, though, is a movie directed by this kind of short, kind of no-name person, Roman somebody.
Mars?
Roman Mars. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Is that famous director? By the way, guys, who is Roman Mars? I've heard that name, but I don't know who Roman
is. He's Bruno's younger brother.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, sorry, that's a real person.
No, I was joking.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All
right. I was able to watch, as I said before,
the Roman Mars classic.
Roman Mars classic. Well, I wouldn't call it a classic. Okay. More like a mediocre, you know. No, I watched Chinatown, directed by Roman Polanski, starring Jack Nicholson and Faye Dunaway. This movie, I think Andrew overhyped it just a little bit.
I think everyone who's seen this movie has overhyped
it. Yeah.
We didn't see it when it came out.
Right.
And so that is the excuse we can use, which I don't usually adhere to that excuse because it is a poor one. A movie should hold up no matter when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I too was not very impressed with China. Well, it didn't live up to the hype.
Well, no, you see, that's the thing. I think what I would say about Chinatown is it does not live up to the superlative hype, but it is still a decent movie. There's nothing wrong with the movie, and I'm not saying that it's a bad movie. The performances are good, but it's one of those movies. It's a fun old movie to watch. That's what it is.
It's one of those movies like The Warriors, where people who love it and talk about it, you'd think that The Warriors is one of the greatest movies to have ever been filmed. Until you sit down and you watch The Warriors and you realize that something is off.
Yeah.
I think I want to physically hurt myself right now.
But Andrew, you see, and the thing is, I'm not saying that this is a bad movie, because it's not a bad movie,
you
Andrew.
Have to be high.
I could somewhat take the tempered reaction to Chinatown, but comparing it to The Warriors.
No, I'm not saying that it quality wise, Andrew. Clearly The Warriors is in no way, shape or form as good as Chinatown. I'm talking about how the reverence that it is shown by people who love the movie. Right? They speak of it as if it is one of the best movies to have ever been filmed. And that is sadly not the case.
This is.
It's the reason Chinatown shows up on everyone's top 100 list of movies. I've never seen that movie off any of those lists. But I disagree.
No, I doubt it would be on mine. But that said, it's a fun, engaging noir movie. You know, it's a great detective film. But that's all it really is—a great detective film. Nothing more, nothing less. You know. So let's move on from disappointing.
Right, Chinatown is Law and Order. You heard it first.
Hey, how dare you compare those two things?
So, all right, hold on. So I think we need to make this like a recurring segment. Mm-hmm. In the podcast. Because I watched something this week,
mm-hmm,
that is very polarizing.
Ah.
Right? In one corner we have Andrew
being wrong,
who thinks that this movie is not this movie, sorry, this TV show is really, really funny. The greatest thing, the best new show on television. On the other side,
I'm afraid where this is going.
We've got Damien saying that it is pretentious.
It is the other side of what funny is.
Nonsensical, right, and unreal garbage.
It is the Dane Cook of TV shows.
I'm trying to figure out what TV show we're talking about.
And now to kind of end the discussion, end the argument,
right,
on the
years
topic
of feuding between,
right,
us
to decide who is the correct, right, person. Is Douglas is coming, right, to talk about this show. Right. This show is the new HBO show called Girls.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay.
No, not Veep. I haven't watched Veep yet.
Veep is funny.
I hope it is. It looks like. Is it Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Yes.
I
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Damien would love Veep. It's from the same guy who did Into the Loop, and I had the same reaction I had to Into the Loop with that show, and I doubt I'm going to keep watching it.
Oh wow. Anyway, back on track.
Right, girls.
So girls.
So do you like girls?
No.
You don't like girls.
I don't.
I always figured you as one of those. Douglas doesn't like girls.
Well, hey, you heard it here first.
You should tell that to your girlfriend.
Probably should.
That's an update.
Stop stringing her around.
That's an update that she'd probably like.
This show is not great. I watched the first episode.
I watched the second episode.
I've watched, I think, like the first half of the second episode.
It's still not great.
This show is not a great show.
Okay.
But I disagree that it is a really, really bad show.
No,
I think that
I said that it was not funny. It is pitched as a comedy.
Uh-huh.
And it is failing. If they pitch it as another Sex and the City, sure. Because then I'd never have watched it and it wouldn't have been a problem. But they pitched this show specifically as being funny first. Right? That is what comedies are. Mm-hmm. And it is not. Not even close.
Not sure.
Alright, hold on. Can I get a moment? Where? Just one moment.
Sure.
Alright. First of all, I understand where you're coming from, especially with that that idea going into the show. And I don't hate anyone for not liking this show. Let me get that straight off the bat. I have issues with the show, but I do like some things about it. I felt that I kind of had a better idea of what to expect from it because I had seen Tiny Furniture, her indie film, before. So I knew what kind of sensibility I was going into. But to claim that, I just want to get these broad strokes out of the way. You said comedy is funny first. And the thing about it is funny is very different from person to person, right?
No.
Nope.
I refuse. Mike Birbiglia is in the second episode. Is he not? Is that a or a no?
Hold on,
if
David,
you get Mike Birbiglia... No. Mike Birbiglia is in the second episode. So if you have gone out of your way to get a comedian like Mike Birbiglia and put him in the show, it means that the show is supposed to be funny. That is what you're going for, but it is not. The show is not funny. And I don't want to hear that funny is different to my sense of humor. I will defend my sense of humor from now until the end of time. I listen to more stand-up than most people listen to anything at any point. So for you to say, well, it's funny, it's just not funny to me, that is it. I've listened to all walks of comedy, right? And this is, it's just not funny. It's not funny to any, nobody comes out of the show and chuckles. If you tell me that there's people who are laughing at any point throughout this show, I will call you a liar to your face. Nobody laughs at this show. Douglas, did you laugh?
Can I at least make my point before you continue to berate me?
Sure. I don't understand funny.
Fine.
I'll accept that. That is essentially what you said. Oh, it's not funny to everybody, but some people will like it funny. Who is the some people? Please tell me. Let me call one of them and talk to them.
Oh, Christ.
Yo, dog, you know this thing that's not funny? I hear that you find it funny.
You know, sometimes I like the idea of doing the podcast so that I can discuss and argue and have an intellectual idea, but then Damien decides he's right. And then that whole thought and notion is gone out the window.
All right, fine. Continue.
I like trying to talk about a TV show that I watched, while actually, really what I'm doing is creating an argument between Andrew and Damon that will last long enough for me all of my stuff to install my...
Good. Thanks for that. That's good to know. All right, so finish up. I'm sorry, Andrew. Continue your point.
So I was going to go on to say, carrying over that idea into examples of certain stand-up comedians who, in their own right, have their own markets and their own little areas where people think they are hysterical.
For example?
You can go from the more mainstream comedians, the mainstream comedian names from... right now, the biggest name is Louis C.K., right? So almost anyone who is into stand-up claims or likes to say they love Louis C.K. But then you'll find comedians that don't have that wide an audience. One name that comes to mind immediately, and this is only as a stand-up, not as his film career, because that's completely different. And from what I've seen, Galifianakis. There's also David Cross, who has one of the weirdest stand-up comedy out of what is... And it just doesn't work for some people. And that's kind of how I'm taking Lena Dunham. And, I mean, yes, it's kind of a cop-out to say, oh, Damien, you just didn't find it funny. But to come out with such a strong stance of of calling complete bullshit on it. I'm not saying the show doesn't have problems. I'm saying the show, at the same time, it has some positives to it which are worth saying. You know, I see that. Maybe you're not willing to sit through a 13-episode season of it. Fine. But literally, like, I feel like you're just coming off way too strong with how you're taking it.
All right. Andrew, I see your point. My question to you is, did you laugh?
I did laugh at some points in the show.
Where?
There are some really awesome, like, one-liners that I found hysterical. Like, I remember in the first episode, I can't remember who it was, but one of the girls looked at, I think it was the, what I'm going to call the hippie girl, the one who came from Europe or whatever, and said, and I quote, "I look at you and in my head I hear Coldplay songs," and I found that hilarious.
Wait, sorry, what?
Alright.
No, you see, I'm trying hard not to get, you know, on the other side of the fence of Andrew, because I'm actually, I'm probably leaning more towards his opinion on his TV show, but it's hard. It's really hard when he makes comments like that, I have to say.
I was laughing just hearing that statement again. No, alright. Fine. There's people who clearly have Andrew's opinion of this show, because people are watching it, supposedly. But the show, it is not funny. That is my issue with the show. Now, David Cross, I have, I think, three of his albums.
That guy's hilarious.
Galifianakis, I have one. I think he put out a second one.
He has one strictly on Netflix too, a stand-up.
So I have... In terms of things that make people laugh, I am the Gandhi of the... I listen to a wide range of podcasts.
Wait, you don't listen to Dane Cook, though,
that just... Yeah, because he's horrendous. The WTF podcast with Mark Maron, he sits down and he essentially talks to every comedian he can find. And so that was one way that I found myself listening to even more stand-up. And What Was the Sound of Young America, No Bullseye, is another podcast that essentially does that. He finds funny people and he puts them on the podcast and gets a chance to tell people why they're funny and explain some of their comedy. But most of all, it's to entertain you. They find reasons to make you laugh and things. And there's so many other podcasts. Definitely Maximum Fun, they have... All of their shows are essentially joke podcasts where they just find things to laugh at. So in terms of me finding things funny, it's not a situation where I don't think it is funny because of the type. Because I've seen this type of comedy done, but done... Louis is this type of comedy, right? Where it's not punchline jokes. It is, you know, situational. They look at a situation and they say, you know... let me see how I can warp this into being funny, and there's some funny lines. But this show isn't. It simply is. It is bad at being a comedy.
You see, the thing about this show is it's not very, as you said, there are not very many punchlines, and so it's not very memorable. I remember enjoying my time with the show, but it's so throughout this argument, I've been trying to think to myself, what can I come up with? Yeah. What was really funny? And the best I can come up with, which wasn't really funny and was actually quite corny, was when Lena Dunham was in the hotel room with her parents and she was high off her ass. Mm-hmm. And then the father realized what it was that she drank and he was like, but that's the equivalent of smoking banana peels. And then, you know, kind of chuckled like, ha 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 ha, because she fell on the floor. Mm-hmm. And, that's really corny. That's not really good humor.
Right. So,
you know.
If they had pitched it as something else, if they scrub comedy away, right, then I don't have a problem. Because I would not watch the show. Right,
you know
I wouldn't have spent the time sitting down and watching this nonsense.
Hear what it is, though. Another thing about this show is that I think it is, and correct me if I'm wrong. You know, this show is called Girls, mm-hmm. but it's a show geared more towards women.
Okay.
I think. And so a lot of the scenarios and a lot of her responses to the scenarios would, I think, be more understandable and therefore more funny.
Okay.
To a more female oriented sort of crowd. Okay. In my opinion.
Look, especially the second episode annoyed me because they put Mike Bear Bigler there. Which means they
who was he? I don't know him.
He's a stand up guy.
No, but who was he in the show, I mean?
He was the guy that was offering her a job and then she went too far and started talking about rape.
Oh, I haven't gotten that far yet.
I'm sorry, so, I found that scene hilarious.
No, they put him in there and I saw him and I went. So it's not just the people who are previewing the show thought that it is funny. Whoever is doing this show, and I saw what's his name as one of the producers, Apatow.
He's a producer.
So I saw him and I went, so the producers also think that this is a comedy and they are incorrect because it is not funny. And that is the key thing. Douglas said maybe it's cause I'm a boy. I'm also BSing and rubbishing that comment. Because absolutely not. I am not accepting that as my second favorite album last year was from Amy Schumer, and unless I am mistaken, she's very much a girl. So I don't know, guys, it's not funny. Andrew claims that he laughs and he's given two examples that are funny approximate but not actually funny. And Douglas cannot remember when he laughed in the show, so yeah.
I enjoyed it though.
Yeah, that's
I wouldn't say enjoy. What's a little less than enjoy, but a little more than indifferent?
I think it's appreciate.
That's how I feel about this movie.
Appreciate,
show.
Yes. He's okay. Right. Appreciate.
That's the couple word.
I do not.
Anyway, I also watched another television show,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to thank and blame Damian for this. There really should be no blame laid on him, but I'm just going to.
Okay.
The name of the show is "Don't Trust That Bitch" in apartment. What is it? 3C or something like that? 23.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just like to point out that Damian knows he's at fault, so much so that he started to...
I'm laughing.
He's laughing. So, Damian, how did you like the show?
It's not good.
No, it's not.
But like New Girl and...
Oh, fuck.
What's that? And Whitney and most of the other comedies that have started this year, it is just good enough for me to continue watching it.
No, this show.
Knowing deep down that it's not that good. But 23 does have one perk.
I'm going to tell
James Van Der Beek jokes. Which I thought they would have run out of in the first episode. But they haven't. They're mining this well relentlessly and it is still funny.
Even his fucking flannel shirts.
Oh my god.
So it was kind of funny when I think it was the first episode. Well, I've only watched the first episode. What's wrong with me? The first episode, he's talking to his friend and he's like, la 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 la. And there's a lady in the background. Mm-hmm. And I think she brought out the flannel shirt and he's like, eh, whatever. And then she comes out in the whipped cream and he's like, yeah, I gotta go. Yep.
Mining the Van Der Beek.
Yeah. So this show, you see, what saddens me about, not really about this show, but about Damian liking this show, is that when you tear down all the bells and whistles, of which there are none, this show is nothing more than two broke girls. Except that this show is, I don't know, if there was some sort of scale,
right.
I guess it would be one unit right. higher. So right,
a
one
half notch.
A half notch more watchable. Right?
Right. Essentially what it is.
Because I watched Broke Girls.
I too.
I saw the first episode and I could not pass, I think, the 10th minute. That was it for me. However, this show I watched, I realized what it was, but yet I could still watch the rest of it. And unfortunately, I think partly due to Damien's brainwashing, I kind of enjoyed it. I know it's bad.
Yes.
It's really bad.
Most of the shows that I've watched this year, I can definitely, especially after seeing that last Community episode, the chasm between what Community is doing and Two Broke Girls and New Girl and Don't Trust This Bitch and all of those other the chasm is so vast. I think you can fit Justified in that chasm. That is how vast the chasm is.
No, I think it's so vast that Justified does not even fit the chasm. But oh my God. I think that shit, I lost my train of thought. But this show is really, really it's bad.
Yeah.
No, it's so bad. But
there's something.
For some reason I hate myself and I hate Damien for it. But for some reason, I'm finding it hard to find a reason not to watch the second episode.
I'd say it gets better.
I'm sure it doesn't.
It gets the same.
I'm sure. Wait, no. Actually, I think I have watched the second episode.
Yeah, that's the one with the father.
Yeah, with Scott. Mm-hmm. And the
bicycle and
bicycle
his mother.
Party.
Yeah.
So. Damien raised a decent point a while ago. He named the name of a show New Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of the matter is, if I compare the two, if I look at them and I say, I am willing to watch New Girl no matter how horrible it is, I really should not be surprised that I want to watch this show.
I still hate Zoe most about. She's the one thing
the
I
bitch?
Dislike. No, I'm talking about New Girl.
Person. Oh.
She's the part of the show that I dislike the most.
Oh, yeah.
Schmidt is the best part of that show, hands down.
Schmidt is decent.
He's so. Every time he opens his mouth, I'm like, no one on earth can be.
There are two parts of that show I could definitely. I think definitely need to get addressed. Zooey Deschanel and Marlon Wayans.
There needs to do. But he doesn't spend enough time on the screen for you.
No, there's a reason.
Yeah, because he's not good. I know that. And he's not the one who is the namesake of the show. Alright, what else have you seen?
I told you. That's Corporate it? Douglas.
You saw two TV shows.
However, being Corporate Douglas, being as corporate as Douglas is right now, I was good enough to be able to bullshit those three things into probably about a half an hour worth of talking. So I'm good.
And then full insulation of Ubuntu three times. That's very good.
And spur on a ridiculous argument between Damien and I. Congrats. Yes.
So, Andrew Robinson, you claim to watch movies. What have you seen this week?
I'll start off with the movie I liked the least this week. I got around to watching Perfect Sense. I don't know if you guys remember this, but we saw the trailer for it with Ewan McGregor. And why can't I remember the name of the girl in it? He's a chef, and they're in England.
Yeah,
and it's a romance thing. And what the trailer didn't tell you, and I don't.
Because you say it's bad.
Alright. Is that it's a slightly apocalyptic film. What happens is that the movie begins with a disease coming out. They don't really know what to call it. They call it a disease, whatever, where people start to lose their sense of smell. And then it progresses to their sense of taste. And you guys can guess where it goes from there. And I don't know why, but I thought that was the lamest kind of apocalypse anyone could have come up with. I mean, towards the end, when things are getting serious and you see the effect, the massive effect it can have on the world, it is a bit scary, but honestly, for this to spur on this relationship, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
I didn't.
Huh?
Wait. So it is shutting down their senses.
Randomly. One by one. They don't know what's doing it. They don't know how it's going about. It's just happening.
Okay.
Like, at first, they're like, okay, our smell is gone. That's bad. Let's work on it and let's hope that we can fix this. Then their taste goes, and they're like, well, you know, taste is related to smell. You know, that was kind of half expected. And then another one goes, and they're like, holy shit, we be fucked.
Okay.
So yeah, it's more about the dread and scaring the fright that comes from this fact that their senses are going, but there's also the romance between McGregor and the girl whose name I can't remember right now. Oh wait, okay. It's Ava Green. Now I remember it.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, Ava Green.
Green cracks.
there are a couple okay moments, scenes, but I think the movie never really rises up past like the kind of thing that occurred in the trailer, which was a lot of really nice moments to just a really loud soundtrack.
I just want to say that your description of this film reminds me of another one about the fright of nothing.
Blindness.
No, the name of this movie is called
The Happening.
Look,
guys, we all enjoy The Happening, right? We don't need to. We can't.
Breeze blew.
Right.
And people died.
It's been enough time now. we can jump off the wagon of haters, right?
We all run the official
M Night website, the fan site for M. We all three love The Happening, and that is why we started the podcast, right? So that one.
I mean, when you think about it, it's logical because Zoe is in it.
I don't even want to know how you came up with that logic.
Yeah,
just move on to the next.
I don't understand what you mean by that.
I don't want to know. I don't want to see how Andromine works. We've been down this road many times.
I don't.
It's a fool's errand.
All right. Another movie I watched this week, which is actually a pretty fantastic movie, is called Pariah. It was a big hit at Sundance a couple of years ago, I believe. It's about this girl, teenage girl, who is a lesbian and having Mariah to deal with.
That would work.
Sorry?
Because I was asking if her name was Mariah, and I was saying that would really work because then she'd be Mariah the Pariah. Just saying.
Can I leave now? Can I go home?
Can I put in like that lame drum sound that people do when jokes don't work?
No,
waka.
Yeah. So and we've seen movies like this before where there's this girl who she can't really tell her family about this thing with her life, and she has this whole relationship with her friend, but it's really just a friend thing, and she meets someone who she likes, but she doesn't know would be interested in her in that way, and you can kind of tell where it's going with that, but it almost takes that whole idea and flips the effects and the moments of that relationship on itself. The acting in it is pretty fantastic, and the fact that this is a first-time feature from this director, her name is Reese, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, all she had done before this, according to IMDb, were a few short films, one of which I believe is what this film is based on, and it's actually a really good film, and I'd recommend it to anyone to see.
Okay. Should look up Pariah then.
The last movie I want to talk about is one that I pretty much loved, and I know that it's very the internet is very broken on love and hate for this movie, and it's mainly because this movie basically comes down to a rant. I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, but it's the latest film from Bobcat Goldthwait, God Bless America.
Yeah. I saw the trailer, and the trailer was not impressive.
The trailer is the best representation of the movie. It's that over an hour and a half. So if you're not into the trailer, don't watch the movie. But basically, if you've ever had that moment where you've wanted to choke a motherfucker for texting during a movie, for cutting in front of you in a line, for stealing your parking space, all of those kinds of things, then this movie is pretty much that feeling stretched over 90 minutes.
My question about the movie was, at any point, does the movie point out that everybody has these behavioral quirks? Does he turn the gun on himself at any point because of something that he does, like cutting somebody off in a line, or essentially being inconsiderate to others around him? Does he end up realizing that about himself and shooting himself in like the foot or the hand? No? Alright.
I agree with you completely. However, I just enjoyed it for that cathartic feeling of, they're finally doing this. And I kind of found it funny, the whole, like, there are a few moments in the film where the lead character, I can't remember, his character's name is Frank, I can't remember the name of the guy who plays him, has a few monologues, especially in the beginning of the movie, when he's having an argument with his co-worker, and he basically spews off all of these thoughts that we've all had and agree with. And while it's kind of stupid to just sit there and go like, yes, finally someone is saying it, I did enjoy it, kind of like how I enjoyed the monologue in Red State from Michael Parks, where it just comes off so well in the film. You know, it's just a moment that's so easily, I don't know if this word is even allowed, clip-worthy in like a podcast like this, where you could take it and it would just sound so good coming off of the way he delivers it.
So,
and I enjoyed that.
Very memeable.
Yeah.
Can we not use that word ever again?
Memorable?
I don't like it.
Memorable? Meme-tastic.
yeah, so that's all I really have to offer this week. Go watch Pariah and God Bless America. Don't watch Perfect Sense.
Memistic.
God bless the meme.
Meme. Meme. Meme.
High carb tree chung Genki bayonet a sweetheart left behind. Far from the hills and the sea swell Carolinas, that's where my true love lies.
Look for me. Alright, so trailers this week. First trailer I kind of want us to talk about is the new Judd Apatow film, This Is 40.
Why does it say 38 and not 40?
Because your mom wants to be 38. Let's not mention it again.
On your form, you said you were born in 1974, but your paper, it said 72.
It's 1974.
Oh, wait. On your last form, you said that you were born in 1975.
I've been working on my rewrite.
I lie about my age, okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I know how old you are. Counting the rings.
with the Judd Apatow family starring once again, what do you guys think of it? It's him going back into his more serious mode, like from Funny People and such.
Is it really
this
serious?
Is the more serious mode.
I definitely did not get that from this trailer. This trailer looked kind of like a lame comedy. It also has all the comedians in it, which would then kind of give extra justification for said assumption. Also, when they say that it is the sort of sequel of
Knocked Up,
which I'm pretty sure... I can't remember, Andrew. You have to tell me. You have to remind me. Was that a comedy?
I don't think it was. It was about a guy who went and got his face hit in repeatedly.
Now that we've had that silence, we will.
And that's where we put in the drums.
A moment of silence for that attempted joke.
Okay, so well, if what you're telling me is true, that's news to me. But where I
I know
what Knocked Up was. So, it is still my favorite Judd Apatow movie.
That was sarcasm, sir. Of course, I know. I'm pretty sure you have a DVD of it in here.
Yes, I do.
No one forgets Knocked Up. I mean, it's goddamn amazing.
So this movie, it looks like it's gonna be kind of bad. But then again, a few of his movies have looked that way and turned out to be really good. So I'm still going to watch it, mainly based on the fact that it has the star power from Knocked Up, or at least most of it. It looks like Rogan isn't in this one. I'm fine with that. Seth Rogan.
No, Paul Rudd. Rudd?
Uh-huh.
I don't care about Seth Rogan.
Yeah, right.
Star power and the only person I care about being in the movie.
Paul Rudd is really funny.
He makes
funny,
bad movies,
but
I don't
he
care.
Makes nothing but bad movies.
That is incorrect.
Role Models was horrible, first of all. And to tell you the truth, it hurts me to say that. You know why? Because not only was Paul Rudd in it,
Stifler was in it.
Not only was Stifler in it, but it was also directed by David Wayne, who is fantastic and one of the most hilarious men that have, you know, that I've ever watched. And it just didn't work. It did not. But to get back to this trailer, what I'm going to say about this movie is I will watch it for my loyalty to Apatow. I'll watch it because I love a lot of the actors in this movie, and I'll watch it because I really, really love Knocked Up, and it's some sort of continuation of that. And really and truly, no matter how bad this trailer looks, those three reasons kind of outweigh that.
You're telling me you're bringing bias into your opinion, Douglas?
What?
I thought
when
we were an unbiased, impartial.
Speak of bias. How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Like, I just skimmed over the IMDb page for this movie, and I just found out Lena Dunham is in it. I just thought I'd bring that back up.
Damien?
Right. So you said the people who did Knocked Up is doing this, right?
Correct.
I'm on board.
That's all you need, huh?
I like how you brought up David Wayne Douglas, because he did a really good movie this year so far, and I'm happy
yes,
for that.
He did direct
which had
movie
Paul
this year.
Rudd
what
in
it. Called? It was
Wanderlust.
Wanderlust, right? Yes.
Wonder why that hasn't come.
Was it really
Jamaica
good?
Yet.
Yes,
I need
it
to
was.
Watch it, then. All right, I need to watch it.
I kind of
got really upset with him after Role Models, and so I saw Wanderlust and said I wasn't going to watch it. But if you tell me that he's back on form,
that chick from Friends is in it, right?
Yes, yes.
Jennifer Aniston
not,
is in it.
I
Damien,
abide
Damien, it is not a
Jennifer Aniston
movie. It's a Paul Rudd film.
I understand that, but she's. Still in the movie. All right.
Is it weird that I kind of dig this trailer for This Is 40? I think it's mainly because I'm looking and I'm like, Paul Rudd is in the movie. I like Paul Rudd. I want to watch this movie. I still find Judd Apatow's children adorable.
No, they're not. They're old. I don't know what happened to them. Don't they realize that you're not supposed to age because that's when you
age is against children?
Yes. Yes. They were very funny when they were Knocked Up and were like each five and
talking about I googled murder.
But no.
Alright.
It's just like in the trailer where they're like, you shouldn't use technology, and the little girl picks up her phone. It's like, no technology. I just found that funny.
The trailer is still bad. The trailer is still bad. I want to watch a movie, but the more you talk about this trailer, the effect you're having is the opposite effect. That
okay, so let's move on then, because we've got another movie to talk about. Yes.
Another fine.
This
fine
one. This one is starring Paul Dano from the creators of Little Miss Sunshine, Ruby Sparks.
Alan, are you mad at me?
Remember how Dad used to say I had an overactive imagination?
That's good.
Kelvin, but there's no possible way that Ruby's in your house because she's not a real person.
Can you see her?
Kelvin!
She's real. Ruby!
What is going on with you?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Kiss me, stupid.
There's got to be some logical explanation.
People don't appear out of thin air.
She did.
How?
I don't know how. It's love. It's magic.
Have you tried writing more? Write something about her and see if it comes true. If it does, this is a miracle.
I'll let Damon go first because I think he has the most strong views of this, at least this side of the world.
In 2008, was it, or 2007, they put out Stranger Than Fiction, which had... Will Ferrell, Anchorman, Will Ferrell, and I don't know if you've seen anything with Will Ferrell in it, but he is able to make pretty much anything funny. Pretty much anything funny. And so that movie was great. I enjoyed it immensely. I don't know whether or not it is good because Queen Latifah is in it. And that angers me to no end.
I forgot about that.
Right. So
I always focus on Emma. What's her last name? Watson.
Right.
Yeah. Thompson.
Thompson.
Whenever I watch anything and enjoy it, but Queen Latifah is anywhere in it, I immediately question whether or not the show is good or not. Bringing down the house.
So wait, are you telling me that
Jorge?
Barbershop 2.
Oh, okay. Or Beauty Shop or whatever the hell.
The girl version.
But, right. But are you really saying that... What was the name of that movie? Jump or Sprung. You really telling me Sprung wasn't a good movie? Is it Sprung?
Are you telling me you didn't like Chicago,
the
Damien?
The four ladies that, like, robbed people.
Alright.
They're black, so that's right. What they do, right?
So, Paul Dano is making Stranger Than Fiction Part 2. It is... essentially the same movie. He writes a character and the character shows up in real life. The trailer is poor because they bury the lead way too far in a trailer that is a minute and a half. But something is said about a minute into the trailer. He discovers the ability to write anything he wants, and this woman performs it. And when I saw that, and then I saw the rest of the trailer, I spoke to Douglas and I said, this is the most nonsensical thing I've seen in movies in a long time. This man is able to write this woman to do anything he wants, and it does not immediately turn into a porn. I don't understand what is going on. It's ridiculous.
And we get a deeper look into the person that is
Damien. But even his friend that was in the car when he made the discovery realized what this was.
He saw the potential.
And the show is just going to throw that nonsense away. Paul Dano should stop making these movies, though. He is essentially the manic pixie dream boy. He is what Zooey Deschanel is in boy form. And it is very annoying.
Except that a lot of his moves are bad.
Yes. Except. No. A lot of Zooey Deschanel movies.
No, they're not.
Are bad.
I do not accept that.
Fair enough. This trailer is... another one of those. It tries to be indie, but it doesn't hit the mark, so it just feels pretentious. But I enjoyed Stranger Than Fiction, and that's clearly what this movie is going to be. and I still like Paul Dano for some reason. I don't know why. I keep watching him in movies.
Because he's awesome.
Sure. But the movies that he keeps coming in aren't very awesome.
Yeah, there comes a point when no matter how amazing somebody is, if you don't enjoy what you're watching them
you just
in,
have to go.
Yeah.
I'm out.
I hear what you guys are saying, but I think if you take a look at all of his films, that I think it evens out. It's pretty much a good out. Ratio of
Andrew,
him doing
he's been
really
good movies
and just
the
doing a film.
The Girl Next
stuff.
Door and... he was in The Girl Next Door and he was in Blood. There Will Be Blood. Those are the two good
he was
movies
also,
he's been in.
He was also in... Little Miss Sunshine. He was in Meek's Cut Off. He was in Where the Wild Things Are. He was in.
Wait, negative. He was not. He was not.
Yes, he was.
Was he a voice?
Yes.
Therefore, he doesn't count.
How does that not count?
No, Andrew, that cannot count. You cannot count a voice. Are you crazy? Are you
he
crazy?
He was also in The Emperor's Club, which I particularly like. He was in The Good Heart, which Damien loves.
That movie is not that good.
No. I will tell you that I didn't. I remember seeing.
I'm pretty sure
that
Damien
I did not like that
movie.
The movie fell off a cliff. Is what that movie
yes.
is.
So far you've got four movies.
Right. So he was in.
The Girl Next Door came out in 2004.
And
that is 8 years ago. That's right. one good movie every 2 year average.
He was in
what
a shitty movie where he adopted a little girl.
Gigantic.
Holy
and
shit.
I'm counting this even though we haven't seen it yet. Apparently he's in Lupo, so.
Ryan Johnson can go wrong, you know.
Where?
In
Driving?
Chris Nolan will go wrong one day too.
I'll get what a paint right. Scrabble.
Ryan Johnson will too, so it's possible. Anyway.
You have no evidence of this.
I know, right? what I would say about this movie, this trailer rather, I'd kind of echo most of what Damien had to say, which is essentially that this trailer, it tries to be indie, it doesn't quite get there. It kind of toes the line and almost steps over a little bit into the pop romantic sort of genre region. Mm-hmm. But there's something about the trailer that makes me still like this movie. I want to watch this movie. And it doesn't help or it doesn't hurt that Paul Dano is in it. Even as with Damien up to this point, I still love the guy for some reason. But I want to draw a different tangent, or not tangent, rather parallel. I don't know if either of you two have seen this movie. It's an oldish movie.
It's very French.
It's not French at all. It's very American. Perhaps even Canadian because of the actor who is in it.
I don't watch movies from Canada.
Probably a bad movie at that. It's a comedy. Starring John Candy. By the name of Delirious. Has any of you watched this movie?
Which you sure I have.
I have seen that movie.
Okay. So, Delirious is a movie where John Candy is a writer on a soap.
Yeah,
by the way, do you know how soap operas got their name?
Dear God.
I heard this on the news the other day.
It's
and
probably
it's so
a lie.
Interesting. It's so ridiculous. A soap opera got its name. Well, they started out mostly on the radio, right? Because it was that long ago. There was no TV. And all of these types of shows tended to be sponsored by soap companies like Palmolive. And so that is where you got the name soap opera from.
I'm actually glad that is the explanation and not what was going on in my head.
What was going on in your head?
I thought that it was because the shows came on at a certain time of day and what most of the women would have been doing at the time.
Oh God!
It's far worse,
Damien. That's disgusting.
That is.
However, it's not far off because think about it. Wait, if you think about it, they came on at a certain time.
It
of
is
day,
the same line
and,
of thinking.
And
why soap companies
exactly?
Sponsor them. So I'm right adjacent, But I prefer to know that that is what happened instead of my version.
Oh my God.
So I'm happy going into this whole story knowing that I knew what Douglas was about to say, because I knew that already.
Well done, sir, because but I Damian, didn't know that at all until
Damian,
the other day.
Yes.
You are a special individual.
Yep. And I've been a rich individual.
Apparently. So hold on, let's go back, right? So in this movie, John Candy was a writer for a soap opera, and he has to go to Cleveland for some reason, and I think he slips and drops and hits his head and goes into a coma and becomes delirious. And all of this movie is a dream, right? But in his dream, he has a typewriter that he's writing his stories on, you know, because he doesn't create a new life for himself. He just is him in Cleveland in his dreams. And he's writing his story, and he realizes everything he writes comes true. And so, you know, he writes all sorts of daring stories where, you know, he drives a car with this hot and sexy lady who is covering his eyes, and he's like, just tell me where to turn. And you know, he's romancing all of these ladies and stuff. And that, to me, is... well, clearly the cheesy comic version of what we're having here.
There's another movie, The Inner Life of Martin Frost.
I almost watched that movie.
Which is essentially the same thing.
But yeah. I hear it's fairly bad.
It is horrendous.
I almost watched it because I think that movie is based on a book that is fictional, a book that appears in another movie.
Okay.
I think it's something like that, some weird right. relationship that I was like, oh, that's so interesting.
And so the reason why I prefer to think about Stranger Than Fiction is because without Stranger Than Fiction, the only movie that I've seen that has had something like that, this kind of premise, is the Martin Frost movie. And if that was what I was going by, then I would have written off this movie immediately. But Dano is the real draw for me to watch this movie. The premise I've seen before, I just hope that they can find something to mine out of it. Because if the execution is done well enough, I'm pretty sure I'd enjoy it.
So, Andrew, thoughts? Go.
Ditto. I mean, I love Dano in whatever he does, because, I mean, even in his one and a half scene in Cowboys and Aliens, I was like, oh, this movie could be good, and then he left, and the movie sucked. But, like, this trailer, I see it, and I kind of am a bit more into the idea of this, oh, he can take a typewriter and do what he does. And I guess I don't take as much offense going like, oh, but Stranger Than Fiction was fantastic. Why do I need another? I don't think it's a movie I'm going to seek out. It's going to be one that I'm going to have to accident upon on TV.
I'm pretty sure, Andrew. TV? I just wanted to say that I'm pretty sure the accident is a noun.
Look, he's going to accident. If actioned is a verb, right? Then accident up. I'm pretty sure in some insurance agency they use it as a verb somewhere.
Yeah. So a trailer really came out for the latest John Hillcoat and Nick Cave film, Lawless.
I did not even notice that those were the people behind this film. That makes me even more excited. But before you even describe anything about this movie...
Seems you've been involved in certain illegal activities.
There's a new special deputy. Been brought in from the city. Wants to work it out so everybody can do some business.
That's all.
I'm the one who's going to make your life real difficult from now on if you don't toe the line, country boy.
I'm a Bondurant. We don't lay down for nobody.
Shia LaBeouf is in this movie.
I knew somebody had to go down that road.
Guys, Shia LaBeouf is in this movie. Now, I remember at some point I defended Shia LaBeouf because he was in Holes. And I enjoyed Holes.
Holes? Really, Holes?
And that's the only thing I can cling to.
Really? What about
Disturbia?
Disturbia, you didn't like that?
Fucking hate that.
Really? What?
The Andrew didn't talk to me for a month.
I would not go as far as say Andrew did with that movie, but I really enjoyed that movie so much so that in order to play a prank on Andrew, I was willing to buy it because I knew that I'd still own it and watch
it. I think the more Andrew enjoyed the movie is the more I ended up hating the movie. Right, so Shia LaBeouf, transform Michael Bay's Shia LaBeouf, I should say.
No, Michael Bay presents Shia LaBeouf. Right,
Michael Bay and the Transformers presents the LaBeouf. He's horrendous in those movies. Never mind the movies are bad, but his acting in those movies is also not great.
Well, and he was in Eagle Eye, wasn't he?
Yes, and that movie was...
Movie was shite.
Okay. Alright. So, I was giving him, essentially, a free pass because I enjoyed him in Holes. which was 90 years ago at this point. After the third Transformers, I decided that he must now work. He is getting a pass where others have had to work for that pass.
Wait, this is after Transformers 3?
Three.
I'm pretty sure there was a fourth movie in the middle there before that.
What was that?
A fourth movie?
What was the name of the movie? What else did he come in?
Indiana Jones.
Oh, shit!
Way before that movie.
Andrew and Douglas, Douglas. Douglas, don't do that. Because that's just making my position even.
I'm just saying.
All right. I'd blacked out that none. Right.
He was also in iRobot.
Is that supposed to be good or bad? Because
you guys just making this situation worse.
Views on that movie.
You guys
that
are
I'm
not
sure
helping.
Andrew does not share.
You're not
Andrew,
helping this situation.
Do you
situation.
Like that movie? Do you like Iron?
No, I do not.
Yes,
no,
you
do.
Not. Don't talk rubbish.
No, I don't. No,
he has matured enough to know now that he's wrong.
What I do like, which was a nice little partner to iRobot for the Shia LaBeouf is still a sidekick, was Constantine. That I thought was a fun movie.
All right, good. All right, so there's something there, right? So there was something that gave him some legitimacy in my eyes.
No.
Hold on, wait. That's what I'm saying. He had gotten a free pass because all the while I was blaming Michael Bay for the treachery that is Transformers. But the fact of the matter is, Shia LaBeouf did very little acting in those shows. They're not good. His acting in it is not good. And I have given better actors a harder time of it than I have Shia LaBeouf. He's in this movie. I asked Douglas what happened when I saw him. I immediately decided I was not going to watch the movie.
But then the second he appeared... But hold on. Let's move on a little bit from Shia LaBeouf because there were a few developments after Shia LaBeouf's character was presented.
So let's talk about that. They showed his face. I immediately went, no way, right? And then they started showing me people that under no circumstance am I allowed to not watch their movies. They showed Tom Hardy next, which was not funny. Douglas found it hilarious because he knew what was happening. I was not amused because Tom Hardy should not be in any movie that Shia LaBeouf is
but
in.
But it did not end there, did it?
And it continued to get worse. Gary Oldman is in the movie.
I don't think that was the last one,
was it? No, there was... Oh my... Guy Pearce, what's the girl from Take Shelter?
Mia Wasikowski.
Jessica Chastain.
Jessica Chastain.
Right. And Mia was also. They essentially said, "How can we fuck with Damon?"
and Damon, let's not forget, we're talking about the guy who directed The Road.
Right. So I didn't know that because we didn't see any of that on the trailer. So essentially, they put their worst foot forward and then dared me to not want to watch this movie. They went, all right, for all you movie people, look here, Shia. And everybody went, oh, you guys are joking, right? And I said, wait. And then every 10 seconds, they added to reasons. They're like, I want you to not watch this show now. Right? So I'm going to have to watch this show. They have put so much things to negate Shia in this movie. It is unbelievable. As much as I do not like him, I'm going to have to watch this movie, I guess.
Yeah, you are.
And the trailer wasn't that bad, I know.
The trailer was good. This I was cannot, a good...
Shia LaBeouf was in the trailer, right?
Trailer.
Bias alone.
We just talked about a trailer with Paul Rudd in it. That you love Paul Rudd, and I'm sure you love Jason Segel, and mm-hmm. all the other people around it, but you hated that trailer. Yes, as did
because
I.
Because it was
a bad trailer. Let's go the opposite. Shia LaBeouf is in this trailer, and you hate Shia LaBeouf, but you have to admit, this was a good trailer. Wasn't it?
Douglas, I can't bring myself.
Wasn't it?
Douglas, I already have to watch this movie.
Damian, before you get defensive, you can take solace in the fact that Douglas only likes it because Nick Cave wrote the script.
No, I didn't even know that, Andrew. I didn't know that at all. Right. I mean, that definitely adds
this
a lot.
This is just added information.
But once I see Tom Hardy,
in
Andrew.
Defiance of Shia LaBeouf.
Andrew, I know that you haven't watched it yet because you're a crazy person, but I saw the take. I don't need any other proof that Tom Hardy is one of the greatest
we
actors
saw
that
Brunson,
we have right now.
And we went, okay. Holy shit. Brunson's amazing. This Tom Hardy guy, it looks like he cannot. By the time I got to the take, I was already convinced that he could.
Clearly, right?
And he still blew me away. That's how awesome this guy is. Then you put Gary Oldman, is that even fair? The last time those two came together was Tinker Tailor, and that movie's phenomenal.
Oh! This trailer was a really good trailer. I don't think I have as negative a response to Shia LaBeouf as Damian. I mean, my response is never positive, but there is a wet spot here where Damian threw up when he saw Shia LaBeouf. Nice. I don't get to that stage.
He doesn't deserve any credit for what I ask. For what? What has he done to deserve this? Even if you enjoy Disturbia, it still isn't that good.
No, that's true. I agree. I really agree. Going back to the same argument, Shia LaBeouf has really had about two decent movies. One being Disturbia, the other being Constantine. And, well, I guess count three if you count Holes, but I've never actually watched that movie. But this trailer, it really builds the excitement. And what it does, it knows... It sees its assets, right? And its assets are its the star. Well, I shouldn't say star power, but the acting power behind this movie. And it was a slow build up. It was a slow reveal. It was kind of like, you know, sexily, tantalizingly unzipping the back of some hot black dress. And that's exactly what they did with this trailer. As Damian says, about every 10 or 15 seconds, you saw a new face where he said, oh, wait, I have to watch this now. Oh, no, I have to watch this. And you, by the end of the trailer, your brain exploded. Right. Simple as that.
The amount of talent in this movie, by the end of the trailer, it was like the number two movie that I'm looking forward to watch. It went from the movie I was never going to watch to like the only other thing I'll watch that isn't named Batman. So Andrew,
so Damian, we've talked about films for a long time. So you can tell me, you can tell me what you know my opinion to be of these films I'm about to tell you. The Proposition.
Okay, you liked it.
Yeah.
The Road.
You enjoyed.
Lawless looks like a studio forced John Hillcoat movie, and I'm leaving it there.
Wait, sorry, are you saying that you don't like this trailer?
It looks like it's going to be bad. You guys are taking things at, you're taking elements out of the movie, namely actors who are playing certain roles.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Guy Pearce come in the trailer and he looks like he's playing one of these amazingly, weirdly evil characters who I'm going to love. But just like Damien's initial response, which leaves a wet spot on your floor right now, Douglas, I just can't get over Shia.
Are you serious?
And I'm serious. And
is that your only, is that the only negative for you?
The movie looks like, literally, if you took John Hillcoat's name off of the movie, it looks like a run-of-the-mill movie that's trying too hard to be a Western.
Andrew, I'll just say this before I ask you the question I asked you a while ago, again. neither Damien nor I knew who directed or wrote this movie before when we started giving it the adulation that we were just giving it. So clearly, if you took off those names for us,
the trailer would
still be great. So I ask you a question, the question again. Is Shia LaBeouf the only negative for you?
The story?
What's bad about the story?
See, Western.
It looks run of the mill. It looks average. Right. It doesn't interest me.
I want to ask you a different question then. Did you like, what the hell is the name of the movie with Johnny Depp, directed by one of the
Public
the,
Enemies?
Yes. Did you like Public Enemies?
Yes.
Did you like the story to Public Enemies?
Yes.
No, Damien.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, we don't know exactly what the story is. We have an idea. But would you say that this story is at least similar to that of Public Enemy?
All Westerns are the same.
So am I to take that as a yes?
Yes.
So, Andrew,
Westerns aren't built around their expansive stories and the twists and turns. Westerns are good because of execution and acting.
Of which they've got
they've hit every checkbox they can hit. You thought The Good, the Bad and the Ugly was a terrific story? Oh, that story is great. Such a... No. All Westerns. That is why we love Westerns, Andrew. It's just, as we'll get to when we review Haywire. Simple movies like Westerns and revenge films are entirely based on their execution, because the story that they're telling is nothing new. But the reason people love them is because it always came down to execution and acting. It's not about this new kind of story they tell. It doesn't have anything to do with it.
High above the ground, limbers and falls timber down. Ankles splayed and all tied.
She is our nation's most valuable weapon.
You got a car?
That's why they trained her.
Negotiations broke down. Just need somebody to go and get the guy.
Wow, that's actually real?
Oh, yeah.
That's why they trusted her.
I have an assignment. It's like a paid holiday.
Diplomatic plates. There is an emergency. Slap them on.
You want me to be eye candy?
You guys would be like the perfect couple.
So why did they betray her?
Paul? Is the divorce final? Paul, are you there? Mallory.
So this week,
Barcelona deal went
I decided to cave in and give Andrew what he wants. For us to review a Soderbergh movie. And to be impartial.
It's been a while since we've done this. The last one we reviewed was Che.
Alright.
And Douglas wasn't here for that one.
Yeah, I must have been thesising at that point.
Yes.
Thesising.
And now, Andrew has it in his head that I do not like Soderbergh.
No. That I do not. I have it in my head that you enjoy a lot more mocking me for enjoying the Soderbergh movies you don't like.
Yes.
Than actually liking Soderbergh movies.
100% correct. Because when he makes garbage, Andrew still defends the name Soderbergh. He's not really defending the movie. He's defending the image he has in his head of Soderbergh.
So Soderbergh, we can tell the people listening how the email went out.
Right.
I said, Damien, what movie are we reviewing? To which you responded, why not talk about Haywire? And what was my response to you then?
As long as it is not me laughing at you for watching, for enjoying a Soderbergh movie. Actually,
to which
I
you
said,
didn't respond.
Right, actually, I said, can we? I asked a question, can we review Haywire? Because I fully expected Andrew to go, no, we cannot review him. Absolutely not. Jump off a cliff. Now, when we saw the trailer for Haywire, I immediately went, that is the girlfriend experience, part deux. And I went, Soderbergh is at it again. He's found some chick that can't act for shit and put her in her element.
But you know what, though? This movie proves, well, it doesn't prove anything, actually.
Damn right it doesn't.
I think I haven't watched a girlfriend experience, so I can't really say anything for that. But for this one, I think he cast her perfectly in the sense that he looked at the script, or he wrote the script. I'm not sure if he wrote it or not. He looked at the script and he said, you know what? This girl doesn't really say anything. She just runs around and fights people. I don't really need to get an actress for that. You can fight people. Go.
Right.
I think that's what happened.
So,
that is perfect.
I went into this movie hoping that it would be a Soderbergh action movie. That he woke up one morning and said, I should do an action movie. And he set about doing it. And because he's Soderbergh, he said, this MMA chick can fight. Right, like what Douglas said, and he said, I will surround her, I'll take, what I'll do is I'll get this girl and I'll surround her with as much talent as humanly possible to negate her non-acting.
Such as Channing Tatum.
Michael Fassbender.
No. I just want you to address the Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum is in it. I no longer hate him.
What?
Let me explain.
You need to, Andrew. We are going to convene a tribunal, right. A committee.
I saw him act in The Eagle. There was acting that took place, right? I had written him off completely, and I saw The Eagle, and I went, "Fine, he can act." What I've done since watching The Eagle is watch nothing else that he's been in.
That might be why right? You still have a because positive outlook.
He comes in absolute garbage, mm-hmm. but it is absolute garbage that I'll never ever watch. So,
while does this mean that you're now going to watch 21 Jump Street?
Yes, but not really awesome. For him.
How about G.I. Joe?
Absolutely not. Not even at gunpoint am I watching that trash.
I've been told that Cobra Commander isn't in this movie.
That is what I've heard. And I am not amused.
Nor am I.
Right. So, I enjoyed this movie because it is a dumb action movie. But Soderbergh missed the point of dumb action movies. Right? He went about it the Soderbergh way. He thought by moving the camera and getting all these great shots and, you know, having these actors act around this chick that, you know, it would offset the fact that she's... because she really is horrendous at acting. Even though all she is supposed to do is stare at the camera and look menacing, she's kind of bad at that. But the revenge part of the revenge movie is where he failed, which is unbelievable for someone of the caliber of Soderbergh. And these movies are fun because it is a two-step process. You are betrayed in the beginning and you spend the rest of the movie getting revenge. It is so simple and straightforward. But he fucked it up. I don't know how.
Agreed. I agree with you, David.
But he did a mediocre job. And then he got the second part of dumb action movies wrong. The action part. There's a lot of missed opportunities with the action that took place in this movie. It is not... especially, she's a MMA person. There was plenty of opportunity to have her fight her way out of a lot of situations. The scenes where she did fight was pretty good. But then there was either not enough of it, or the scene itself was... it was just so... kind of bad. There's nothing about it that was, you know, kind of awesome. These movies are so, like, I've been hearing good things about the Raid Redemption, that trailer where they essentially skip the first part of the action movie and just go straight into them. It's essentially 90 minutes of fighting. The Korean movie, I think it is. And so I don't understand how Soderbergh...
oh, is that the one that they go into some sort
some
of building?
Some building, right.
Oh, okay.
And they fight for 90 minutes. I've been hearing good things, but I haven't seen it yet because we live here. So it isn't the girlfriend experience, but then it couldn't have been because this movie is an action movie. And my favorite dumb action movie for the last couple of years is The Man From Nowhere. Now, there are better revenge movies. The Man From Nowhere. That's the one with the little girl. He owned a pawn shop. And they kidnapped the little girl. And
the wallet and the knife.
Right, the wallet and the knife. And he had to shoot the guy through the bulletproof glass at the end.
Have I seen that movie?
Oh, shit. All right.
Yes,
I'm
you have.
Ignoring Douglas.
Yes, you have, Douglas.
The reason I enjoyed that one... because there's better revenge movies. I Saw the Devil, right? But it isn't... I Saw the Devil isn't just a dumb kind of action movie. There is a story that is being told that is pretty good. While Man From Nowhere, it is simple and manipulative, which is what you need in an action... you need to root for whoever has been wronged, and that didn't take place in Haywire, not really.
Is it the one with the guy that pretends to be slow?
Right, at the start.
Yeah, okay.
And then
right.
They kidnap the little girl, mm-hmm. and he proceeds to...
and he grabs everybody. A knife with his wallet.
Oh, yes!
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That movie was awesome.
Yes. But it is also very dumb. Extremely
it's a revenge
dumb.
Movie.
Yes, but and it is fun. Exactly. That is exactly the point that is missed in Haywire. But it is... I enjoy it because it is what Soderbergh thinks an action movie is. right? And there's things he gets right. But there's just something there. He just gets some of it wrong. And it's not the part that I think that Soderbergh would get wrong. Because he's told better stories than this. And it's not a hard story to tell.
Yeah. I don't know. The thing about this movie that I saw, it's weird. The more I think about it, the less the more I have to take umbrage with. The more that I'm kind of like, really? Why did he do it that way? I think that a lot of, as you said, whenever there was a fight scene, it was kind of spectacular. There's one scene or one image that I always think of when I think about this movie, which is in the beginning they had to extract somebody,
right?
And
the one where she runs along the wall and bear hugs him.
Wasn't
there more of that?
She had to run this guy down, and when she finally got to him, there is one, I almost think about it as like a super move that she did, where she was not even horizontal but almost upside down, and her leg was on the wall, and she put her leg on the wall in order to thump him,
right?
And sorry, to punch him. I apologize from our non-Jamaican listeners. but that was just amazing. And there are a bunch of other moves kind of like that in this movie. But this movie was very weird. I remember thinking every once in a while, this really does sound and look kind of like an Ocean's movie. And then I realized, wait, that's because he directed the Ocean's movies. Right. So that was a little bit odd every once in a while, because they really are different types of movies. And it's kind of strange to think of the happy-go-lucky type of movie that Oceans is, and then put that along the backdrop of this. And I think what he tried to do with this movie was to make it a little bit too serious.
I don't like saying this. I think he over-directed this movie.
Yeah, because this movie, he got the, it's like somebody gave him the basic building blocks of a revenge movie, and he took them and he looked at them. And he said, okay,
I'm Steven Soderbergh. I can do this better.
No, I don't even think it's as much as that. I think he's just so competent, so good, that he took the building blocks and were like, but these are so very basic, so what, you're supposed to put one here, and then one here, and then one here, and instead of, a column, you've got this raggedy shaped thing that just doesn't quite fit together. And that's what this movie is. You've got fights starting out of nowhere, which is kind of weird, but at the same time, I understand why he did it, because he wants it to feel much more realistic, you know? But that's not the type of movie that this is. And you've got a lot of the fighting. I don't know if you noticed this, but a lot of the fights had zero background music at all, which I think he used to, again, bring you into actually what was happening, and to kind of give it a more gritty and realistic feel. But again, that's not what, maybe something's just wrong with us, you know, that we're just not pretentious enough.
It's a simple enough formula. That is the thing. I really think he overthought what an action movie is. I think he was going for something more grand, and he just didn't quite hit the mark. There's things about it that is so good, but that's because he's such a competent director, but he gets things wrong.
And I'll ask you this question, right?
Because plus she cannot act.
Well,
Jesus Christ.
I'll ask you this question because I'm not sure if perhaps this is a failing on my part, but did it make sense to you, or was there any use for, after the fight, the first big fight with Channing Tatum, she kidnaps a young boy and drives him all over the place.
So that she could tell the backstory.
Exactly. No, that's what it was there for.
Yes.
But that makes no sense in the story.
Yes, Douglas, because... but dumb action.
Hold on. Let me just finish my train of thought and see if you're with me.
Sure.
Right? So it makes no sense because, whenever you have a spy so open about the story, it's because she's going to use him later on.
Right.
And she doesn't do that at all. Why is it that is such a big part of the movie when all that Soderbergh could have done was, instead of starting in the middle and then having her drive this guy around and tell him the backstory, he could have just started at the beginning. Right? So I'm not saying that it didn't tell us a backstory and it didn't serve its purpose. I'm saying that it was completely unnecessary the way he did it, in my mind.
Well, he did use him, but the line was throwaway. She essentially said, make sure you tell all that I've told you to the police and news stations.
Not news stations. She gave him a number that he should call and say, tell this guy and he'll fix you up, you know?
Right, and he was supposed to tell it to... No, that is the thing. That is why I say he overthought... So what I did when watching this movie is I went back to my benchmark for dumb action movies, Rambo. Now, Stallone, much like this girl, whatever her name is, did no acting in that movie. He was horrendous. But these movies are supposed to be simple and manipulative, right? You put them in a situation in the beginning that forces them to hunt down whoever it is straight through till the end of the movie. Soderbergh didn't do that. He could have done it your way. We start out here, have the betrayal happen, and then have her run down the guy. But he started somewhere in the middle for no reason whatsoever. It was a stylistic choice by him, right? But Soderbergh is good enough. He could have pulled it off. He just didn't. And it is the manipulation of us, the watchers, that I think he got most wrong. Sure, I have some beefs with the amount of action that was in the movie. Especially that the end sequence.
Yeah.
Which, guys, come on. Come on.
That was I definitely felt
more sorry for Ewan McGregor than anything else. Right? A lot of sympathy because he had no shot. But they didn't do enough to... And the manipulation is... It's easy. With the man from nowhere, they had the little girl cry because she was being kidnapped. It's always something easy, right? Because we're not going in there for great story. Nobody... All of the driving around with the guy and all of the bits with her father... If they had shot the father in the face, that would have helped with the ending. Because then you'd have gone, well, they betrayed her and then shot him in the face. So she has to now go and hunt them. Something as simple as that, but he didn't. He went for something else. But it is far, far better than the last time he went down this crazy road. His girlfriend experience is trash. And this movie is far superior. But there are some choices that he made that I was just not on board with. But it's still a fun little action
and
movie.
I want to just make it clear, because I've said a lot of negative things about this movie. But no matter how confused I am about, you know, certain choices, no matter how much I really don't like the cheesy Ocean-esque ending to this movie, the action, when it actually is there, kind of makes up for all of that.
Kind of, yeah.
And I could definitely watch this movie again.
Plus, Antonio Banderas is Beard.
That was...
It's majestic.
It's something about that beard.
It's beautiful. If I could grow a beard, like, that's the only way I'd grow a beard. If they could guarantee me it would look like that. So that is awesome. So, Andrew... Mr. Soderbergh, number one fan himself. How goes it with Haywire?
So, I rewatched this film yesterday in preparation for this show. And someone asked me how I would explain how I felt about this movie.
Right.
Someone else. And the only way I could come up with a short answer that I felt was somewhat apt was I said, imagine if Ocean's 11 and Rumble in the Bronx had a baby and never talked to that baby for the entire of its childhood. Because it felt like a movie which had all of those elements in place. Rumbling but whenever it wanted to highlight, it felt slightly watered down. Except in a few moments. There are some pretty great fight sequences. Namely one being Michael Fassbender versus Gina Carano.
I enjoyed Channing Tatum's ass whooping.
I did.
That was fun to watch.
The first time, so I've watched this movie, or I've started watching this movie a few times. So I've seen that first Channing Tatum fight 3 times so far, and every time when she punches him and his head goes into the bench thing, that's a good part. I like that part. Always gets me.
When she has him in the hold and has the gun like right beside her head and allows it to go off and stuff like that, that's what kind of I like in that sequence.
I like that this nobody, this 100-pounder just jumps on him and pulls him, hauls him off of her,
jumps on a bulky Channing Tatum
successfully and holds him off for like at least 30 seconds while he's like, oh, I can't move. And the only reason that this guy fails is because she actually kicks both of them to the ground. I love that kind of perfectly believable situation.
Thank you.
But the truth about it, when I think about this movie more and more, is I kind of view it more as a Bourne Identity kind of film. And you guys talk about it as a revenge movie, but I think of it as a entry into a franchise. Even though we have no idea as to whether this was ever intended or will ever be a franchise movie.
You understand that Bourne Identity is essentially a revenge movie, right?
Yes, but...
Okay. All right. Andrew, here's what I would have hoped from this movie. If Soderbergh had taken one look at Taken and gone, I want a female version of Taken, that is what I hoped this movie was going to be. But I feared, correctly I might add, that Soderbergh would take the wrong lessons from action movies. And he did. Right? He put in the action. But the story that was told, which that is what is unbelievable to me. How does someone like Soderbergh get a revenge story, the most simple story you can tell in any movie? How does he get it so wrong?
And he has such great talent. When I tell you, the
caliber of people that is in this movie.
You know who I really enjoyed in this movie, but more than likely... Well, I don't know about you guys, but excuse me, generally people might disagree with me. The person I thought was the best in this movie was Michael Douglas. I absolutely love Michael Douglas, especially when he plays roles like this, where he's not trying to be serious. He's not trying to be a devoted father. He's not trying to be a son who does something great. He is trying... He's just... being a badass. Mm-hmm. And not even really a badass, but more like an indifferent badass. And he does that so well. You know, greed is good. All of that shit. It's fantastic. And he does it so well in this movie. And for that to still not work is sad.
Maybe you should just blame the writer of this movie. Maybe it's his fault. Let's blame him. I like Soderbergh. I don't know who wrote this. It's his fault. Sounds And Channing Tatum. I don't know how.
Channing Tatum, yes.
The more you two talk, is the more I want to disagree with you.
Okay. But you cannot find anything to disagree with, can you?
Actually, I can, but I just feel like I'm going to argue too much and it's going to hurt me.
No, but we don't hate the movie. None of us hate the movie.
No matter how negative we are,
right?
We're still kind of
pretty sure we said that we like the movie. Oh no, wait, I realize what is happening.
What?
Andrew doesn't find any fault with this. Andrew loves this movie. That is, I just realized now what happened. I thought he was on board with us. I saying, yeah, it's a pretty... But I realize now that the reason he's been so quiet for this long is because he absolutely loves this movie. He loves this movie, don't he, Andrew?
No. I see fault in it. Don't worry about that.
Okay, but...
You know,
I don't think it's at all in the story.
Okay. Where did the movie got fault, in your opinion?
I think it had fault in the action, in the sense that Soderbergh took I think there were maybe 5 or 6 standout action scenes in this movie. At least half of those Soderbergh decided to take a bit of the too much artistic sense towards it, especially the Barcelona scene when she's chasing down that last guy. Douglas talked about the fact that whenever we got into any of these action sequences, background music faded away and it just became ambience noise of the actual fight itself. You could even tell by the sound mixing that it's different from any other action movie. It wasn't... The punches didn't sound like they were thrown by a 1,000-pound man who trained in Russia and fought against Sylvester Stallone.
And was it just me, but did she and probably most of the other people in this film that were in fights exhale really loudly when they punched? It was like
I didn't pay that close attention during the fight sequences, but during like that moment when she's actually chasing the guy in Barcelona, it is very noticeable her breathing throughout that chasing sequence.
It's also noticeable that Soderbergh moved the camera to about 19 different positions to get as many different shots of her running him down as possible, which I expected from Soderbergh.
But the story, I think the story is more than fine. I don't know what your guy's problem with it. No, how did he...
At the end of the movie, you're supposed to be rooting for her, or for the protagonist, to murder everybody.
Right? And she does.
No. He didn't say that she will or will not.
Right.
He says that you need to be rooting for her.
Right. You need to manipulate me into... feeling sorry for her and to be glad for when bad things happen to the people that did things to her.
But these people tried to pin murder on her, tried to out her from the world.
She
killed
a spy,
all of her contacts, left her for dead in Dublin looking for the police to kill her. What else do you want?
Kill her father, kill her daughter.
Yeah. Look, you have to manipulate. It is a simple story. You have to manipulate. Kill the guy who she was driving with. Kill the father. Tell me that you killed her mother. And
you know what it is? It's not even... Okay. I'm going to say it even more detailed than that. It's not just that they didn't kill somebody else or they didn't do something worse. You know what it was? It was the fact that throughout the movie, the bad guys... always seemed indifferent. They never seemed evil. They never seemed as if, you know, they were doing this because they were because they were targeting her in any way. It just happened. And when you respond to that and you see her finally get back, you're just like, okay, she's back, there we go, whatever. But it's not that, you know, there was this extreme hardship and these horrible people that she had to overcome. That's not how this story was pitched, and that's plus, really where
they tried to kill her, but she won that fight.
Yeah.
And then they left her in Dublin, and she ran from the police. That is not hardship at all. Right?
No, but it was very clear that if she didn't end that fight, no. And by that fight, I mean her versus Kenneth versus the agency,
Andrew,
or whatever.
I'm not disagreeing, Andrew. It is a simple story. I'm not disagreeing that she had to do what she had to do, and she had to murder these people. What I'm saying is, they didn't manipulate me enough. There is not enough. I wasn't rooting for her all that much. She's a contract killer, and they double crossed her. That happens all the time in the contract killing world.
Yes. It's a statistic.
But nothing,
I'm sure,
has happened. Nothing has happened. They sent Channing Tatum to get her. He got his ass kicked, and then she escaped twice. Once from police custody, and one from kicking Michael Bender's Fassbender's ass. I mean,
he kicked
Fassbottom's bottom. I mean, it just wasn't. All right, so take a movie like Taken, for example, right? They took the daughter. Now we've seen that all the time.
I get chills whenever I hear that name. Because
it's so awesome. They took the daughter, right? He had to go get the daughter, right? But it wasn't a straightforward affair. They had to have him say that, you know, she was in a whorehouse and that these people were the evilest people on the planet.
Yeah.
And
you keep
all
thinking,
these horrible
and
things.
You never quite see what happens to her, but they always keep implying, look at what could
right.
they could be doing.
Oh, hold on. One point. Mm-hmm. One point. So you're bringing up all of these films where, as you say, the writers manipulate you into rooting for either the protagonist to win or for
the antagonist
to lose.
Right.
And a movie that we reviewed, and you have constantly reminded me that you felt like they went too far with this, 13 Assassins.
Mm-hmm.
What, in the fact that they painted too evil, like... Where is the line there?
No, but I still enjoyed that. I enjoyed that movie more than this movie, Andrew. But they went too far overboard because they painted this guy as comically evil. But you were still glad when they murdered him because he was so evil. You still enjoyed the end because these guys over here have to kill that guy because he's so evil that there's no other way to resolve the situation. Right? You still root for the good guys to win. But there's no rooting being done here. Right? When she was fighting Ewan McGregor, I felt sorry for him.
Yeah, because you're kind of like, you know, I remember thinking while I was watching it, he probably used to be a fighter, but he doesn't keep up with it, does he?
Yeah.
That's kind of unfair.
Yeah.
That's what went through my head, not that fucking bastard. Look, he's getting what he deserves,
right.
Which is what should be going through your head at that point.
Even when they were inside the father's house, at no point did you think that she was going to lose
any of these encounters. There was no danger.
Right.
That's a key element. There always has to be danger of failure. And the consequences of that failure. You know?
So you're saying the peak of this movie was the Fassbender fight?
Pretty much. Yeah. Look, but that is the thing I'm saying, Andrew. It is simple to manipulate audiences in revenge movies. Right? They could have done it with this movie. First of all, don't start it in the middle because that is ridiculous. And have something happen to her father, or have something worse happen to her. Have her wash up on the side of a beach somewhere, all her hands are, like, they had to do something awful to her so that you could see that maybe you guys went about this the wrong way. Right? In fact, if Fassbender had won, and then at the end she had to fight him again and then kill him, that would have worked as well. But you cannot have her win every single encounter. Alright? And nothing happens to anybody that she cares about.
Okay, you know
and
what,
then
Andrew?
Have me go, yeah.
You know what, Andrew? Sure. Let me say it in words that you will understand. Right? Compare this movie to Kill Bill. Okay? Kill Bill, I figure you as a Tarantino man will relate to this.
I don't know about that movie. That movie sounds unfamiliar to me.
Right.
Kill Bill.
What's that movie about, Douglas?
Is probably 10 times, 20 times better than this movie in terms of the revenge factor. The event that takes place. You know what takes place. You know it by heart. Each of these people take turns like shooting her and kicking her and
Bill needs to get killed.
You know, they almost
Bill is an asshole.
Exactly. They torture her to the point beyond which she should die, and yet she wakes up years later.
Wiggle your big toe.
Exactly.
That is what we need.
Okay. So we need something like that. We need something so gruesome. Well, maybe not gruesome, but so insurmountable. Yet she goes past it and then says or decides that somebody needs to pay for it. That's what you need in a movie like this.
I think, first of all, before people start to believe this, I love Kill Bill. Right?
Oh, yeah, that was
Let's
in question.
That. No, I'm about to say something.
Oh, wow.
So before people take this the wrong way, I love Kill Bill.
Is he about to say something bad about?
I think you guys are taking it a bit too far because you guys are looking for a movie which this is not. Right?
No, this movie is looking for a movie which it is not.
Anyway, no, let Andrew continue. I'd like to hear.
Remember what we talked about during Girls, Damien?
Oh, fair enough.
Thank you. The movies are stories, but stories based on characters that are created and set up for us within the first act. It was made very clear to us as to the due diligence that the character playing by Gina Carano pays attention to her work, especially in that first scene in Barcelona. The first mission in Barcelona, where, and we talked about it, she chases down this random extra dude, and Channing Tatum asks her, why did you bother to do that? We had the guy in the car, we could have gone, no one would have cared. Her response, I don't like to leave loose ends. So yes, when we've gotten past the scene at the house, where her father isn't killed, nothing ridiculous happens. She could have just left it alone. She could have said, Ewan McGregor has gone off into Mexico or wherever it is, and we don't know who else has anything to do with this. She could have left it alone and said, you know what, there's no way that's going to come and bite me in the ass. But no, she doesn't like to leave loose ends. So she goes to Michael Douglas and says, you know what, I'll talk to you about that job the moment I have dealt with my loose ends, i.e. Ewan McGregor. And then, of course, the movie ends on the other person. So, yes, the movie you're talking about, Kill Bill-esque movies, are fantastic and they are fun and enjoyable. But I'm saying I don't think it's warranted to compare those movies to this one. This one is slightly different. It's based on a different type of character and it's a different type of movie.
So
and
let me just
which is
no keep
yeah?
going. Keep going.
Which is why I was kinda saying earlier that while I do have faults with this movie, the more I hear you talk about it, the more I want to disagree and argue with you about.
Okay, so let me ask you one question. Are you saying that this movie is not a revenge movie? It's just a loose ends movie?
It's a movie of this chick got screwed over and she said, look, you don't do that to me. And she went and dealt with her business. It maybe revenge is a broad word for it. It is a revenge film, but it's not a revenge in the sense of Kill Bill. It's different. I don't know how to really explain. Yes, you guys are laughing at me because I'm spitting the same words back at you. But I hope you can see some form of logic in the way that I'm trying to explain why the end was like that. Why we got a scene with Ewan McGregor and Damien was like, yeah, he probably can't not going to come out of this too well.
Douglas, can you read what is on the screen for me, please?
Revenge is a verb. Actually, it's a verb and a noun. And the noun is... The meaning of revenge is that it is the action of inflicting hurt or harm on someone for a wrong suffered at their hands.
Andrew? would you like to rebut... the definition?
Hold on, I'm getting confused here, right? Uh-huh. I'm getting very confused.
Yes.
The argument that we were going on, mm-hmm, was why do we care that she's going after Ewan McGregor? He didn't seem evil enough for us to be rooting for her, right? No, that's what
Andrew,
we're talking about.
We understand why she's going after him. What I'm saying is, this movie
is just not a good enough revenge movie. We know why she's going after him. It's just not a good enough reason for us to be invested in the, right, in what's happening.
Right. So you didn't agree with the character?
No.
Andrew, that is not it at all. What I'm saying is, with revenge movies, there are certain things that you have to do, right? And in order to get the audience invested, something, the wrong that is suffered has to be enough for us to root for them for the entire movie.
Okay, let me put it this way. At the end of, say, I Saw the Devil, when they were when the protagonist was doing all sorts of horrible things to this person that had done all sorts of horrible things before, all three of us were, I'm sure, smiling and excited and
sympathy for Lady Vengeance.
Even that, thinking, oh my goodness, what's he gonna do? And really into what was happening in the film. I think Damien agrees with me when I say that at the end of this movie, when she was doing something similar, I was just kinda like, oh, okay. Yeah, whatever.
So are you guys saying there's only one kind of revenge film?
No, and I'm saying therefore that no matter how many kinds, same, no matter trite, how many boring kinds of revenge films there are, you have to do something. No, forget the formula, right? There's that, but you have to do something in order to get me invested in the story and to get me to feel like I want to watch what is happening and I am excited about what is happening instead of for me to kind of say, you know what, clearly what I'm watching this for are the few action scenes that have nothingness in between them, and so if this is not an action scene, do I really care, you know? That's what this movie was for me.
The revenge part of the movie was just not as effective.
It was tame. Yeah. And that's the thing about revenge. Revenge is not tame. Revenge is unbridled. Revenge is...
taken. Take revenge.
Revenge is passionate. Revenge is... It's not logical. But in this movie, it was. In this movie, it was a formula. It was, these persons did something bad to me, so I am going to do something bad to them. But it was not the irrational response of a person who has gone through hardship and just broken and just can't. It's not even a decision. revenge isn't even a decision. Revenge is just a primal response. And that is where this film fell short, because it did not do that.
So I saw the devil wasn't a decision.
Not really.
the amount of planning that went into that vengeance wasn't a decision.
No, no, no. But
think about the loss, Andrew. He lost his wife and child, right? And so all he wants with the rest of his life is to murder the man that did that to him.
Yeah.
That is it.
That person, but that...
Yes, but I, as a person watching the movie, I'm on board with that decision, right? I hate the killer as much as the guy who it happened to hates the killer. So I want to see him murder him. That is the catharsis, as you said earlier in the podcast. That is what you want. You want to see something that is definitely illegal. Right? But you want to see it on screen, because that is the same thing that you would like to know. If I was in that position, that is what I would have done. With this movie, they betrayed her, but she is an assassin. Right? And they betrayed her. Fine, I understand that once you do that, you know, things go sideways, right? So she has to go back now and clear her name and murder the people who wronged her, which is fine. But a couple of things happened. She's recruited by Michael Douglas, and she isn't beaten up to within an inch of her life. At any point, the one thing that ties her to reality, her father, nothing happens to him.
He's never threatened.
Not really. He helps her plan to murder some other people. So at no point do you feel, you know, you don't feel like she was, yes, she was wronged, but you don't feel it as much. It's just not there. It is really tame. As Douglas
said. I think we finally hit that wall. I think we really have. I think we kind of have to throw up. We have to agree to disagree. Fine. Right?
Fine. You don't know what a revenge movie is. I agree with
I
that.
I love Soderbergh and I disagree too much. It's my fault. Soderbergh too much.
I think that is actually what is happening here.
I think where we have to go from this point is that this movie needs to officially go into the pantheon.
Right.
Because anytime we talk about this movie, we will talk this long about about this.
I'll just casually mention that Andrew's wrong.
I think someone will just mention Steve. Just we'll walk to someone named Steven and Damon will say, Andrew, you're wrong.
Isn't he making like one more movie and then he's done?
No, that movie I don't want to talk about ever. I saw the trailer for the new movie coming out. I don't want to talk about it at all.
What movie is that?
Magic Mike, is the movie starring Channing Tatum, apparently about Channing Tatum when he was a stripper.
That's right.
But is he making more movies after that, or is he done?
I think he's supposed to. I think he said he's making one more. I can't remember what it was about. Okay. And as far as he's concerned, he's kind of done after that. But I take that with lots of salt.
What's wrong with him?
That man is rich and he wants to stop.
I don't care.
I don't think he cares. What
even if it is to give me another Ocean's 11.
Douglas, the man wants... What if he wants to retire with his family?
Anyways, I think it's time we wrap this up. I think there's something in Haywire that you can find. Damien and Douglas didn't seem to see it.
Again, Andrew.
When did we see this? Why is this happening? How many times do we have to say that we still enjoy the movie anyway?
So, you guys didn't times? Say the word love.
How?
You guys
we didn't say the word. Love. Fine. Alright, fine. You know what? Since we don't love it, fuck this movie.
Right in the ass. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Fast battle
dance. My best friend.
just to be all clear, guys, we did enjoy this movie, right, Douglas? Yes. I'm not mistaken.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you are.
Okay. But it is not really good because he fucked up the revenge part, right?
Correct.
Thank you. Just making sure that that was my original opinion.
Anyways, guys, thanks for listening.
We are two mariners, our ship's sole survivors in this belly of a whale. Its ribs are ceiling beams, its guts are carpeting. I guess we have some time to kill. You may not remember me, I was a child of three, and you a lad of 18. But I remember you, and I will relate to you how our histories interweave. At the time